The Bible says about God that He is abundant in goodness. It is His own testimony of Himself. When He passes by and He is showing what He will allow Moses to see of His presence, He's the one that says about Himself, abundant in goodness. That's not just a little bit. That's not just a little bit. Whenever God says things like, my grace is sufficient for thee, or that He is abundant in goodness, it is always more than what you either expected to be or that what you need at the time. You cannot exceed God in your reception of His goodness towards you. You cannot exceed His goodness. You can exceed the goodness of a man, but you cannot exceed the goodness of God. He is abundant in goodness. And listen, He's not abundant in goodness because we are so good and deserving of His goodness. When Israel followed the Lord through the wilderness journey on their way to the promised land, you know, what God really helped them to understand is this. He said, I'm not going to give you this land because of your righteousness. Don't get the idea that somehow you can think of yourself as better than they are. I'm giving you this land because of my righteousness. This is about me, not about you. And when we talk about the goodness of God, sometimes we have seen in our own lives that God has been good to us. And we think perhaps if we've been good to God during that period of time that God has been good to us, that somehow or another we sort of deserved it. You know, this came to me because I've been good. You know, sort of the Santa Claus thing. It would have been switches if I'd been bad, but since it's not switches, I must have been good. And God's not like that. He is good because He's good. And God's goodness is available to us because He's so good. And I'm telling you, God has actually been good to us even when we weren't good to Him. Amen? God delights in doing good. God wants He wants to demonstrate to us, He wants to demonstrate to people, because that's who He is, He wants to demonstrate His goodness. And so I've got just a few points that I'd like to make about this thing you've read here, this goodness of God, that might help us in our relationship with the Lord as it concerns His goodness, so that we don't take it for granted or we don't abuse it or anything of the nature. And I would say the first thing about this goodness is that we should acknowledge His goodness. I don't always have an alliterated outline, but every one of these points is going to start with an A if you're one of those that likes to write them down. You need to acknowledge His goodness. You know, when the rich ruler came to Jesus Christ and asked Him how to have eternal life, He said, good master, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? All right, it's interesting that the man used that word good twice in his request to the Lord. He says, good master, and then he said, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? Jesus Christ corrected the man initially because the man did not realize that he was talking to God manifest in the flesh. He thought he was talking to a good teacher, good master. And he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. It's an interesting statement. Do you understand? If the young man realized that he was talking to God manifest in the flesh, he then would have said, I called you good because you're the Lord. And that would have sufficed in his answer. But that's not what was in his mind, and the Lord knew that. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. That's a very profound statement. And then he said, what good thing, as if he could have done something good enough, you see, to warrant something as valuable as eternal life. And God, you know, he said, okay, here's what I want you to do. And he gave the man what to do, but the man was like, that's too steep. I'm not going to do that. God's goodness, nothing's too steep for God's goodness, but God's instruction was too steep for him. And so that man walked away sorrowful. He did not receive eternal life. He didn't do what Jesus Christ told him to do. But do you understand something? If it's so that there is none good but God, then you know what? There is none good but God. And Jesus Christ can profess that goodness because He is God manifest in the flesh. But when the Lord says abundant in goodness, He's telling you guys, by comparison, there's nothing you see around you of people that are here in the earth that can compare to the goodness that I have. Now, you know in your own life that there are some people who've been good to you. And I'm very thankful in my life there are some people that have been good to me. And I'm thankful that the world still has some good people in it. Aren't you? I'm thankful of that. But we don't want to confuse something about their goodness. When people are good to you, you got to understand something. That's more uncommon than it is common. And you also have to understand something about that. Even good people are not good enough to have eternal life without Jesus Christ. And Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 is your best example. Cornelius was a good man. He feared God. He prayed. He was devout. He gave alms. He was kind to the nation of Israel. He was just, the Bible says. And with all of that, he still wasn't good enough to get to heaven. Cornelius was gooder than most good people who think they're able to get to heaven by their good works. And Peter had to be sent to Cornelius' house to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to him so that Cornelius, like you and me, could trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I'm glad that there are some people that have been good to me. I'm glad there's some people that have been good to you. But we got to be serious here. We cannot measure God's goodness according to the goodness that people have demonstrated to us. He's so much better than that. So much better than that. Do you understand? Here's Jesus Christ. He has come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His desire is that they would be saved. That's what he's here for. To save the lost sheep. And he goes all over that area preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He trains his disciples. He heals the blind. He heals the sick. He causes the blind to see, the lame to walk, the maimed to be healed, the dead to be raised, the lepers to be cleansed. It's an amazing thing that he did while he's here. He even commissioned his disciples. He said, look, we got to cover a lot of territory here. So you guys, here are the gifts that God gave me to give. I'm going to give them to you. You go out there and you cleanse the lepers, and you raise the dead, and you heal the sick. And they did. Listen, this is an amazing thing that Jesus Christ did for that nation. And as he culminates his ministry here on the earth, that nation gathers against him and says, kill that man. We'll take Barabbas. And the leaders of that nation say, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And the Pharisees and the chief priests said, we have no king but Caesar. Wow! All right, so they absolutely rejected him, called for his crucifixion. He's brutally beaten, hangs on a cross, and while he's dying, prays to his Father and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you something. That is good. There are two thieves that are crucified with him. They've been, you know, when you read in Matthew and you read those companion gospels, they're not contradictory. Matthew will tell you something about what took place at the crucifixion. And John will tell you something else. And that's not because it was either this way or that way. Both of those things happen. And the Bible tells us that those thieves, when they were up there and that crowd was mocking Jesus Christ, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They're mocking him. I mean, if he comes down from the cross, he can't save them. He can't complete his earthly ministry. He'll disobey his Father. He won't come out of the grave. He can't come down. And the thieves, the Bible says, on either side of him are casting the same in his teeth. You say, what does that mean? You'll say to people sometimes, I'll make you eat those words. Yeah. Casting the same in his teeth. And so they're both bringing accusations against him. But it dawns on the thief that repents. Wait a minute. He says to that other thief, speaking across Jesus, look, we are here justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. And then he turns to Jesus Christ and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He doesn't repent of cursing him or whatever he said and all the crimes that he committed that were so bad he's getting crucified. He just simply asks, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he turns to him and says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Come on now. That is good. That's good. That is really good. The Bible, you know, makes very clear that God is just good. You know, we got rain last night. I'm thankful. The Bible says he rains on the unjust. I'm like, yeah, amen, we got it again. You know, we're always thinking on the just and the unjust, and we think about, yeah, well, we got it because we're just. Those poor suckers got some too. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for God's goodness, there would be nothing. Right? You and I can't look in the mirror one day with a little bit of a tilt to our head and a smile on our face and hair groomed just so and think, I had this coming because I've been so good. I mean, God just can't help it is what it is. It's just that good, you know. And he's good. The Bible says he gives breath and life to all. I'm thankful when I read in the book of Revelation, after we're gone, that there's a whole multitude of people there praising God that are raptured out of the tribulation from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There are rulers and religious leaders of Muslim nations that have their people in absolute bondage and darkness to a lie. Calling out on the name of a God that is more representative of the devil than of God Almighty. And I think those poor guys, their countries are closed. Some men have infiltrated successfully with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says multitudes. And I'm so thankful that they're going to get to hear the gospel. You know why? Because God's good. God is good. That's just all there is to it. But you know, sometimes in our lives, I've said we're still on the point of acknowledging his goodness. And you're probably thinking, well, I hope every point doesn't require this much exposition. You're safe. Life is not always good to you. You heard in the song that the trio sang that, you know, even in the storms of life, because you've been removed from that raging sea, but even in the storms of life, there's that peace with our Savior. It's so true. It's so true. But you're going to hit you in this world. There are circumstances coming your way, and there are circumstances coming my way, and they're not good. And there's no way to spin it to make them look good. They're just not good. Betrayals, death, sicknesses, financial stresses, all kinds of things. I'm not trying to conjure up and get your mind reflecting, but here's what we need to remember. We need to remember God sure was good to us to save us. I don't know about you, but I do know about me. I have no business being saved, but for the mercy of God and but for saying, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He, through His goodness, has saved this wretched sinner, and through His ability as a potter to take this clay and make this man something different than he was. That's God's goodness. And so I think about, you know, a good wife and a good home and a great church if I start going on, you're going to be like, we're getting bored to death. You tell us all the good things about you. Let me tell you some good things about me. But I'm just telling you, good, 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 boom, bad. When this happens bad, don't forget all that good. Acknowledge His goodness. I'm going to tell you People who are going through great trials and afflictions and troubles right now, who don't forget that God is good, go through these trials a whole lot better than people who can look at nothing but, woe is me! I was talking to a fella Friday night, and his wife has been battling cancer. Boom, into the hospital, blood sugar, erratic as can be. Probably an advancement of the disease. I mean, it's just admitted that day, and now I see him that night, and you can see that it is a burden to him, a heartache to him. You can see it. It's visible on his countenance. And he shook my hand, and he told me, he said, called his wife's name, and I said, yeah, I heard. I'm praying for her. And he looked at me, and he said, his whole smile just lit up. Eyes just sparkled and gleamed. I'm serious. He shook my hand firmly, not as a man crippled by a burden, weighed down by sadness. A big smile and a sparkle in his eye, and said, God is so good. God is good all the time. And he didn't say it as a rehearsal just to make himself feel good. He's telling you what I'm telling you. That bad circumstance is not a reflection on the character of God. God is good. He's always good. I remember years ago going to a youth camp, and this youth camp was preached every year by the same guy. And he'd bring his wife, and the kids loved his wife, and he loved the camp, and he loved the kids that he was preaching to. And there we are, we're sitting by a stream, and it's an outdoor amphitheater. He stands up there. Now he's a widower. Between the last camp and this, his wife had passed away. First words out of his mouth, God is good. All the kids replied, God is good. And then he said with a big smile on his face, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is always good, and we never want to let the storms of life so capsize our ship that we forget to acknowledge how good He is. He's always good. Do you understand that? The bad circumstances of life are not a reflection on the character of God. He's good. And if you will, going through any season of trial, if you will reflect on everything God is doing in your life at that moment that's good, and all the good things that He's done in your life up to that point, is going to help you going through not to get bitter and not to get capsized, because God is good. Acknowledge His goodness and tell Him He's good. He knows it, but it really helps when you say to Him, and I just want you to know, I know you're good. You're good. You're good. I'll tell you another thing about God being abundant in goodness that we want to do. We want to accept His goodness. We want to acknowledge His goodness, but we want to accept His goodness. He said, what are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is this. This is our text, but it's just three words, abundant in goodness. I don't think you need to keep looking at it to get it right. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. As one preacher said, that sounds a little bit like Jeremiah and Isaiah and all those guys. Well, he's not over there. He's on the other side of Psalms. Nehemiah, right? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Nehemiah chapter 9. In Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah what they're doing is they're going through and recounting in prayer many things about the Lord. All right, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 25, 26, notice this. This is a history now of God dealing with Israel and getting them into the wilderness. And now He is reciting what happened out there in the wilderness as they go into the promised land. Now they're going to the promised land, verse 25. They took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards. You understand, they went in there in the height of a harvestable season and didn't have to work to put any of that together. They just killed the people that lived there and ate what they had done. They took strong cities and a fat land, possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance, so they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great what? Goodness. Goodness. And we're not going to detour here and explain why it is that God would allow these people to conquer a land that somebody else inhabited. That's another study. That's another sermon, and it's a good one. But suffice it to say, God had his people in bondage down there in Egypt, traveling around in the wilderness for 40 years, eating manna. And he said, okay, now it's time for you to be able to come in and have yourself a good meal. And boom, they come in, and everything is ready for them. And delighted themselves in thy great goodness. But look what happened. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Wow! Do you see what happened? What happened is God brought them in there, and they were, you say, like, man, all we've had is manna for 40 years, and we've been wearing the same clothes for all these times, and we've been wandering around here all this time, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, look at all this. And I mean, just, right? And just got themselves fattened on the land, and they were having a good time. And you know what they did? They forgot God's goodness. Today, I look around here and I see us. And God's been good to us. Amen? And I see children being raised in Christian homes. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. You know, I was thinking about our congregation. I was thinking about us. So many of us were not raised in Christian homes. Many of us were raised outside of something like what you have here, a Bible-believing church. We might have been raised in a religion. We might have been raised in a good home. But we weren't raised in what we have here. We're eating the fat of the land. We're drinking the water of the Word, right? We're getting, and I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, how good God has been to take those of us who were in the wilderness, who were in the raging storms of life, to bring us to a place like this and to allow us to raise our children here. But I'm looking around and I'm seeing some of the children that are here. I know a lot of our younger ones are in junior church, but I'm looking around here to see our children here, and I'm going to tell you something. Kids, accept God's goodness. When you get to be, you know, 18, 19, 20, whatever, when you get to be 25 or whatever, and you have the world at your disposal on one hand, and you have this on the other hand, listen, accept God's goodness. Because what the world is going to do is try to bring you into a place where you find acceptance with them. And when that happens, it's going to pull you out of here and into there. I know it. I see it when I see it on your faces, because I recognize it. Don't you? I recognize it. There's this allurement of the world, and it's kind of like, but over there they get to do this and they get to do that and they get to do this other kind of thing. And I realize they're not obeying God when they do that, but it looks like they're having so much fun when they do that. Let me tell you something. Forget that nonsense. Accept His goodness. Because what you're seeing is youthful people enjoying those trivialities of life, those frivolities of life, the foolishness of life. They haven't paid any consequence for that sin yet. They will. Well, what we should do is let you see what it looks like on a college campus or in a place where young people are at a work and they're out and they got their parties and they got all their other kind of escapades that go on like that. Then we ought to just take you down when they're in their 50s and 60s and let you see what that dissipation looks like in full bloom. And I'm telling you, it doesn't look like this. This is good. And that's not. You say, really? Yeah, my father-in-law, Ann's biological father, Harry, raised up in church. Similar to what you're doing. got old enough and like, hey, that stuff out there on the other side of that fence looks pretty good. Went out there. When our daughter Corinne was born 40 years ago, how'd that happen? He came down to Victoria. She was born at the Detour Hospital, and we went to, I think we were at Ramsey's having a meal together. And I smelled something. It was like, this is horrible. And it wasn't the food in the restaurant. It was coming from him. What is this? But it was acrid. It was. I had to turn away my head from that. He left after seeing us and went back to Houston. A couple of days later, we get a call. He's in ICU. And within 3 weeks of her birth, he's dead. You know what I'm smelling? Death eating him from the inside out. Dissipation. Listen, 53 years old. That's not good. Hear me. That's not good. Let me say it again. That's not good. These Jews disobeyed God, rebelled against Him, cast the law behind their back, slew the prophets, testified, said great provocations. You are at a threshold or a crossroads in your life where you've got to decide whether you're going to accept God's goodness and go that way or accept a life here. Please understand something. When you are free from righteousness, when you are free from God's goodness, you are the servant of sin. You're never a free agent. Never, ever, 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 ever. Get it. You're serving one or you're serving the other. You're never a free agent. If you are not serving sin, then you can serve righteousness and be free from sin. But if you decide that you want to be free from righteousness so you can sin, you'll be serving sin and you'll be free from righteousness. And that's what the Jews did. They took God's goodness for granted and would not accept it. Do you understand? Do you understand? Give me a head nod. Yeah, I understand. That's so serious. Turn to Romans chapter 2. You say, well, preacher, but I'm already kind of doing this, that, and the other thing. Let me tell you, God's goodness is still here. God's goodness didn't go anywhere. It can't go anywhere. If God's here, His goodness is here because He's abundant in goodness. Accept His goodness. Right here, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance? Forbearance means He could have slammed you to the carpet and didn't do it. And long suffering is He hadn't done it yet. Putting up with you. Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. In other words, if you are right here and you're like vacillating, just turn to the Lord and accept His goodness. It leads you to repentance away from those things and to the goodness of God. And I want to tell you something with all of my heart. In the fear of God, walking with God and obeying God, I'm at a place, and many of you are, where God's goodness is so enjoyable, I don't want anything this world has to offer. It has no allurement on me at all. Because that goodness is that good. But that's what turns you. So you look at this and you may find yourself broken. You may have done something just in the recent weeks. You may have thought something. You may have strayed to some degree. God is still good. Accept His goodness. Repent of that and turn to Him. His forbearance, His long-suffering, His goodness. He is forgiving, and you and He can walk together. And the road on goodness is so much better than the road on sin. Amen. Acknowledge His goodness. He's good. Accept His goodness. It leads you to repentance. Ask for His goodness. A. Ask for His goodness. In other words, give him the opportunity to be good to you. There are several places in the Bible we could turn right now, but for the sake of time, we won't. Those references will be in the Bible if you'd like. You give God an opportunity to show you the goodness in your life. In other words, let's say you're getting ready to make a decision about something. It's not even major. I mean, certainly you want to ask him about major decisions, but let's say it's not even major. So, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? Should I do this right now? And however God directs you through His Word, through the work of His Spirit in your life, through some impression upon you, you know how God leads in your life if you've been following for a while. Just give Him an opportunity to give you a direction this way or that, and then go that direction. The neat thing about it is it gives Him an opportunity to show you that He's good. You know, in a day when... I just have to use it in the first person. You have had days like this, but when I'm walking with God, in a day when I'm walking with God, and throughout the day there's prayer, and there's, you know, seeking the Lord and so forth, and you get to the end of the day, you just hit place after place after place after place in just a few hours of waking hours of one day where God has demonstrated His goodness in your life. You've seen it. It could be in a meal. It could be in a decision that you make. It could be in a avoidance of an accident. It could have been in a way that normally emotionally you would have gone crazy and you didn't, and God was there to intervene and you handled it a whole different. Or God brought you a provision that you weren't expecting. Sometimes you've decided you really want to do something, for instance, to help a missionary. You're like, I don't even know how I can squeeze this out, but I really don't want that missionary to suffer. And you get home and there's a check in your mailbox. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, wow, how is all this happening? You know what it is? You're just giving God an opportunity to be good to you, to give you His wisdom, to show His protection, to show His fellowship and His companionship with you, and just enjoying each other's company. Have you had times like that, haven't you? Yeah, ask for His goodness. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. When you're talking to God throughout the day about the things He's doing in your life that are good, that are not accidental, and particularly when you've prayed and God is intervening in those things, you're more aware of His goodness. In other words, you're not just a pinball bouncing around from thing to thing in life. A lot of people live like that. You can tell because they're like ding-a-lings. Ding, bang, ding, ding, dang, bing, dang, you know. I want more direction in my life than that. I don't bouncing off every obstacle in the way and oh, God's good again. He kept me from falling there. Why don't you and God get ahead of those things and pray for His goodness to be active in your life in every aspect? How are we doing? Acknowledge His goodness, accept His goodness, ask for His goodness. I've said it so much, but appreciate His goodness. A, appreciate His goodness. In other words, you've already acknowledged it between you and Him. It's like, God, You're so good. And Lord, I have the opportunity between that choice and this choice, and I accept Your goodness rather than that worldly pursuit. And I ask for Your goodness, and You've given me provision and wisdom. But now appreciate His wisdom. His goodness. What is that? Thank Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. You know, I was thinking, that's why I made those two announcements today. I had this message on my mind before we sang. Here's a hymn book right here, and it has all this great stuff in here, right? The future veil before us lies, the path is hidden from our eyes, and Jesus leads while faith He tries, just one step at a time. And that's very true. We need not fear what lies ahead, nor anxious be, nor filled with dread. The saints before were safe, but safely led, just one step at a time. That's a message. And then you can turn over to a song where you get to praise Him like we did, to God be the glory, and lift our voices. You know what that is? That's an opportunity for us to say to God, God, I want You to hear from my voice that I recognize in the company of all these people here, You've been good to me. God is so good. Isn't that? That's a song like that. God is so good, right? What number? Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes what happens is we get so overwhelmed with life, so beat down with distractions, so weighed down with... And it's like that now. Don't you feel the world is heavy in our lives? Yeah, it's like that. Man, this is a time when you get to shake all that off, lift your voices with a bunch of other people, open a hymn book, kick your head back, open your vocal cords, breathe a lot of air into your lungs, and just sing praise to God. Why? Because he's so good. And you just want to appreciate his goodness. Thank him. You know, Paul and Silas, we've referred to him pretty frequently, but Paul and Silas are directed by the Lord into Philippi. They get down there. They meet some people. Lydia gets saved. This is tremendous. They've got a place now to stay. There's this demon-possessed woman that's a spirit of divination, and she now calls in trouble, so they cast the devil out. Well, now her masters can't make any money off of her, so they trump up charges against Paul and Silas. They have them beaten. They have them imprisoned down there. Now, they could have really been, hey, God, what is this? I mean, seriously, we saw the Macedonian call. We followed you down here. You gave us a vision of a man. We ain't seen a man. We saw a bunch of women down by the river. Thank God one of them got saved. But this, what in the world is this? Right? Now, they weren't like that at all. In that place where God had led them, God was still good. So what did they do? They prayed. And they praised the Lord. I would just love to hear Paul and Silas in a duet, in stocks, in a prison, in the middle of the night, singing praises to God, and all of a sudden the earth quakes. Oh boy, that's good. And the jailer comes in, and nobody's escaped. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Ah, there's the man. They preach to him. He gets saved. His household gets saved. They all get baptized. They get their stripes cleaned up. They get fed. They're praising the Lord, and God continues to be good, and they go on. The right thing to do is to praise the Lord and appreciate his goodness. It's terrible for God to be so good to us and to take all that goodness for granted. You know, when things go wrong, God is still good. When you magnify what's wrong, you miss the goodness of God. When you magnify the goodness of God, the things that are going wrong are not that big. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I've had a lot of time to reflect on my conversation, and I'm not going to go into details, but the person I talked to said, this wasn't good. The thing we were talking about. This wasn't good. This thing right here, this was not good. And I got to thinking about that real hard and praying about that. And I thought to myself, that might not have looked good to you, but this was good. It's better than what you have right now. And this was good. That's better than what you have right now. This was really good, and that's better than what you have right now. And this was good, and that's better than what you have right now. And this is good, and that's better. You know what they did when they found out this isn't good? They got out from underneath the thing they didn't like. And missed out all the things that were good they had when they were here. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you feel like the suit is being squeezed on you, don't you run. Don't you run. You start looking, you look for God. And you look at all the good things that you have accompanying where you are right now before you make a move. You may find out if you step away from this, you have just crashed about five or six things God's doing good in your life that are accompanying that little thorn on your rose bush. Don't forget the roses. Yeah, you appreciate his goodness. And then finally, I would say this. Starts with an A. Announce his goodness. Go tell somebody else. You know, the world doesn't know that God is good. You talk to them out there, they don't have a clue what we know about God. They don't, but they can know what we have and understand about God. And so the thing to do is go tell somebody else, hey, by the way, God's getting a bad rap. There's some things about God you need to know. God is good. The world is bad. That's for sure. There's death in the world, there's sin in the world, there's sickness in the world, there's trouble in the world, there's war in the world, there's wickedness in the world, and then to top it all off, you end up dying and going to hell. That's just nothing good about that picture at all. And somehow or another, when people see the horrible view of the world, they want to complain and say, God's responsible for all of this. Well, the God of this world is responsible for all this, but God's not responsible for all this. As a matter of fact, He'd like to save you out of all this and pour out His goodness on you. Those of us who know God is good ought to be telling those who don't know God is good that God is good. We should not be ashamed to proclaim the Word of God and the goodness of God. They need to know. And you know, they will be forever grateful. They may fight you originally and initially over this. Oh, how can you say He's good if this has happened in my life? Well, you'll get over it. Once you know Him, you'll realize that what you just said was foolishness. What do we call the gospel? The good news. The good news. Because it's about a good God. Our great Savior and His goodness. Don't be ashamed of Him. You say, the world has given God a bad rap. Well, then don't go along with the world. Well, if I stand up and I tell them how good God is, they're going to want to argue with me. Well, once they get over the argument, they may want to hear what you have to say. Amen. Haven't you ever noticed, you may not have, but have you ever noticed that the people who initially get mad at you for telling them the gospel are often reacting to what you have to say, and the reaction is better than just, hey, you know what, you ought to get saved. No reaction. The wall doesn't react. People that don't have no reaction, nothing's happening. But if something's getting up under their skin, something's happening. You know what? They'll think about it for a little while, and they'll stir on it a little while. I told you about the guy that was passing out tracts one time, and a businessman walked by, and he handed the guy the tract, and he said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And that guy turned around and said, what'd you say to me? I said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. That guy said, if you say that to me one more time, pow, I'm going to cold cock you. All right. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Pow. He put him down. That guy went to the hotel. He could not sleep that night. All he kept hearing was, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Except you repent, you shall likewise. He got up that morning, went and found a preacher that knew the gospel and got saved. And he probably thought that man he cold cocked was the best man he'd ever met in his life because he told him about the goodness of God. I'm just telling you, don't be ashamed of God's goodness. Announce it. Let them know. People without God's goodness in Jesus Christ need God's goodness in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we're very thankful today to be able to preach the words of God and be reminded about just how good You really are and what we should do in response to that. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the message today, that You've accomplished what we asked You to do when we started this message in prayer, and that we are responsive to the leadership of Your Holy Spirit in that area, Lord, where we have weakened in our understanding and in our appreciation for Your goodness. Lord, minister Your word to Your people. Your words are life-changing, and those of us who are here, Father, where we've overlooked one of these and suffered the consequence, I pray, Heavenly Father, we'll straighten that out today, and You'll be pleased, and we'll be reminded just how good You really are. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Quickly, if there's anybody here without Christ, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you this. You're missing out, and you don't even know what you're missing. I'm going to be in that foyer after this service, just shaking hands with a few folks that come by and greeting you. You come by and tell me, preacher, apparently I don't know that God, and I'd like to get to know Him, and we can talk about it from the Scripture and let you see what the Bible has to say about how you too can be saved and repent according to His goodness. Okay? Father, we're thankful for Your message. We're thankful for Your time with us today. We ask You now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless the invitation for Jesus' sake. Amen.